Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm talking with Roger Grinnell, who is working on historical research about Frank Mills and the Mills Seed Company in Washington. This is part one of a two-part interview.
You are visiting Washington and you're doing some historical work while you're here. Can you tell us what you're working on right now?
I do landscape work in North Carolina, and I have for about 40 years. And I brought one of my employees with me, Garcia, and he and I right now are trying to do some landscaping at the front of the building over there.
People see the building, but they might not know the history of the people who are attached to it. Can you let us know a little bit about what you've dug up, so to speak?
F.B. Mills started his seed company in Rose Hill. Actually, it wasn't even known as Rose Hill at that time. It was the southern part of the town of Marcellus, which is in the central part of New York State, in the Finger Lakes area. And he started selling seeds. He had his own catalog. It was just a few pages. His mother stitched it together on her sewing machine, and he sent out, I'm not sure, it was just 300 or 400 copies. And he had, I think it was $23 of orders for that 1 year. This was 1887. And by 1893, he had expanded his business and done well enough to build a 3.5-story house up there, which is still there. And the descendants of the family are living in it. And over the next 20, 30 years, he expanded extremely fast. He had a lot to do with the railroad, and he got that to come within a couple miles of where his business was, down in the valley. He had his own electric company. He was burning, he was using over between 300 and 400 tons of coal a year. And see, by getting that railroad a little bit closer to his establishment, he didn't have to haul it quite as far. But he had teams of horses, and he had up to 200 employees in the early 1900s. He constructed 5 houses on the hill, and they are still there today. He constructed those for about $550 a piece. They're nice houses, they're 2-story houses. And then he built a boarding house for some of his employees, and 80 people could live in the boarding house. He had the men separated on one side of the hall and the women on the other side of the hall. And they had rules and regulations, very strict. He had his own electric generating company. He had display flower beds all around his place. It was a tremendous business. And then he established his own post office. I think that was 1891 or 1893. He and or his brother were the postmasters for a number of years. And he kept that in his family when he had kids, and then they became postmasters and some of the clerks. And he had that was right in front and to the side of his large warehouse that he had for his employees and his business. He published his own catalogs. He mentioned in one of his catalogs 1 year in the 1890s that he used 10 railroad cars of paper to print his catalogs.
So he really did grow quite fast.
He grew extremely fast. I rank him right up there with Henry Ford, John D. Rockefeller, the DuPonts, and people like that. He was extremely aggressive. He had a lot of contests in his catalogs. He gave away good prizes, like if anybody sent in the largest ear of corn, he'd give a prize for that. The largest cucumber, the largest tomato, and various things like that. And then, see, he would save the seeds from those items. They were not hybrids. There weren't hybrids as we know them today at that time. So he selected those seeds, and then he planted those seeds. And see, they gradually got bigger and bigger tomatoes, bigger and better ears of corn, and stuff like that. And then he started naming his own products that he had. He was tremendously aggressive, and he got to the point where he was mailing out over 1 million copies of his seed catalogs every year.
And how did you get involved in researching this?
I got interested in it originally because I saw a couple of his catalogs, seed catalogs, and the colors on the covers are spectacular. You know, they're very detailed. The colors are so bright and distinct. I just wanted to know more. And at this time, I have all of his seed catalogs from the Rose Hill establishment, except one. And I got the Marcellus Historical Society nearby has that catalog, and they let me, you know, get a good scan of it. So in my book, I'm going to have all his catalog covers. I have most of his catalogs from Washington, Iowa, and they started in 1908 and went for about a decade or so. He also had a branch office in Syracuse, New York, and he had catalogs for that too.
That's been today's Washington Page with Roger Grinnell, speaking about historical research about Frank Mills and the Mills Seed Company in Washington. This is part one of a two-part interview.